Hi, I'm Bec Connington, a holistic life coach based on the beach in Christchurch, New Zealand, and welcome to the Summer of Self-Love. This short and oh-so-sweet podcast series will feature everyday epic women sharing their journey to self-love and all their battles and challenges along the way. The goal is to guide and inspire you towards falling even more in love with you. Self-love is my favorite ingredient for a happier, more present, empowered you. And I'm so excited to be on this beautiful journey alongside you. Are you ready for your summer of self-love? Let's do this. Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Summer of Self-Love. Little side note, I've actually recorded two episodes in the last couple of weeks, and both of them I've just been trying to get too up and close and personal with the microphone, and it had the weirdest like sounds and like breathing noises on them, so those ones had to be deleted, unfortunately. Just obviously, yeah, for me, it's I wanted to make sure it's a really lovely listening experience for you guys. But just a wee funny side note, and those of you that are familiar with microphones or have your own podcast or record bits and pieces will totally feel my pain. But I also think at the end of the day, maybe what I had to say in those podcasts wasn't for a wider audience. Maybe it was just for myself, which that in itself is a fantastic message for me, even though it's unable to hit you guys. But anyway, thank you so much for joining me today. I am still loving receiving your wee notes and messages come through. And although this podcast isn't happening as regularly as what I had hoped, it is still a really expansive and a real growth space for me. So I really appreciate those of you that are here, being here. It is so fabulous to have you. Today, I just wanted to jump on and have a quick chat about, I suppose, like doing the work. And I know there's a lot of jargon that I can sometimes use in some of my Instagram posts and within some of the just general coaching chat. So I thought it could be quite interesting just to come on and have a bit of a conversation about, I suppose, like leveling up to that next stage and maybe a bit about when I knew I was ready to kind of really do something extra. I think for me, I was listening to all the podcasts, all the TED Talks, all the books, trying to consume as much, I suppose, personal development as I possibly could. But interestingly enough, I kind of always wanted to keep it at arm's length, if that makes sense. So it's very easy to listen to a podcast and listen to a TED Talk, and some of my friends will recognize this time in my life, because I would quite often listen to them when I was getting ready for work in the morning, and then I'd send them on to my friends. And I'm sure it was so, oh, it would have been just like, oh, here we go, here she goes again. And this is what I mean by keeping those concepts at arm's length. I would quite often think like, oh, this would be so valuable for what, you know, what's her name? Like, I think she'll really appreciate this. This will hit home for her so hard. And I could always make it make sense for sort of other people, but it was almost like I like to kind of have the knowledge and then almost put that knowledge onto other people. But I didn't want to do the things myself. I felt like I was resistant to really applying the concepts and what I was sort of learning and, yeah, to my own life. Or maybe I was in a way, and it's all part of the process to kind of getting me to where I was ready to really lean in and actually take up some self-development work of my own. And I know I've touched on before when I first engaged a life coach that I came across via a friend, and just, you know, it was one of those things where I think I have always had an innate knowing, and when something's right for me or when I feel like, yeah, I'm doing it, I just did it. It was, at the time, it was a massive investment. Now I look back and think, oh my gosh, like, I think it was maybe $400 for four sessions. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's so full on. But I feel like now I pay four times that for like one-on-one coaching. So it's interesting how that just unfolds and how you realize, you know, the support and how important the support and guidance can be and how pivotal it can be in your general wellness and with the shifts and moves you want to make in your life. So I obviously made this decision, engaged this coach, which was fantastic at the time. And I sort of thought, like most of the things I do in my life, or most of the things I'd done until that point, I was very good at doing things that I knew I'd be good at. Like, look, don't get me wrong, I put in effort, I work hard, but you know, there are things that you get to know about yourself, and I am very good at deflecting in situations. So even though I knew that this coaching would be largely about myself, I think, yeah, I'm not sure. I kind of have a, I sort of feel like I thought, you know, once again, was it for the glory? Like, oh yeah, I've got this life coach. No, I definitely don't think it was that. I'm just sort of thinking through these things in my head, because I think to start with, I was really nervous about telling people. I think I might have told like a couple of friends, and only when it came up, and then I told my work, my like direct lead, because it was happened to be just shy of work time. So I was like, look, I'm going to finish a little bit earlier and go to this session. So, and anyway, I felt like it would be like a nice conversation. It would just be all like around, you know, positivity and just continue to sort of like up level me in those areas. What I sort of neglected to realize is that in order to get that growth and in order to gain some momentum and get what you really want out of life, and I mean really want, not just sort of like floating along, enjoying things, which is great as well, but I mean really being able to dig into what is going to light you up, is going to bring you that joy and peace, I think you realize you have to face some of your demons. You have to look at the things that are holding you back and get really true and honest and raw and open about them. I mean, I suppose I could take weight loss and sort of my size, always feeling like I needed to shrink myself or be on a diet or constantly changing, you know, basically because I'm not good enough for the world or for other people to accept me. And that's kind of surface level. And I know a lot of us can relate to that kind of level of wanting to change ourselves physically in order to feel like we will fit in order to feel like we are good enough, in order to feel like we're not as likely to be rejected from society, peers, workplaces, basically ourselves. And I think being able to kind of really dig in there and actually allowing ourselves to understand that first and foremost, we're rejecting ourselves. We're abandoning ourselves when we feel like this and when we constantly give ourselves the message that we're not good enough. So how do we flip this? How do we dig deeper and understand that there's more to us than the amount of space that we take up? And look, I'm not saying that from a health perspective and from an aesthetic perspective, you're not entitled to want to shift things and make yourself feel like a healthier, happier, you know, more authentic version of you, if that's how you feel. But I'm also saying that there is something pretty special about taking a deep dive into why you feel the way you feel about your body and your size and how that impacts the way you show up in the world. So that's a perfect example. Another example that really caused me to have a midlife crisis. How old was I? I suppose not really midlife, but early 30s crisis, was the whole idea around, I suppose, the toxic positivity concept, which is something that I feel like I definitely fell into the category of. I suppressed, always wanted to put a smile on my face and not only hid my own true feelings, but also really put that on other people if they were, you know, sharing things with me or, you know, things came up for them. I think I was really good at being like, don't worry, like, it'll be fine. Like, look at the bright side, like, oh, at least this isn't happening. And just all of that kind of real, interesting stuff, right? And I mean, this was how I lived my life. So I didn't know any better. And I'm a massive believer in there not being any space for judging your past self. Like, I can't go back and change that. And it's just sort of one of those things. So I'm not going to sit with it and feel guilty about it. It was what it was. I didn't have the depth. I didn't have the understanding to be able to allow myself to feel safe, to feel what I was actually feeling. And really, when I dig back to a lot of this, like, this massive part of this was around my dad being sick and unwell when I was younger, and then obviously passing away when I was in my early 20s. And, you know, like, I wasn't accustomed to the kind of grief that brought to me as an individual and to a family. I didn't know how to deal with it. I wasn't equipped to deal with it. And like, why would you be equipped to deal with it at those ages? But I think I just did what I thought was best, what I thought would be most appeasing to a wider audience, what would make, I think generally it's what makes other people feel more comfortable. So, you know, if my friends would ask how things were going, I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable by telling the truth and bursting into tears. So of course I'd be like, oh, it's fine. Like, not, you know, everything's okay. Like, it just wasn't a thing that I felt safe talking about in my own body. That had nothing to do with the caliber of friends I kept or, you know, the people in my life. It was all about how safe I felt sharing these depths, these really hard things. So anyway, I'm going off on a weird tangent, but I think it's quite important to put some examples to the kind of concept around suppressing what is true for you and not allowing yourself to feel these things. And so the first lot of work that I really dove into was kind of this concept of keeping everyone happy and making decisions that were best for myself and suppressing everything inside of me. Everything, but... And look, what I suppose I never realized when I was watching the TED Talks and reading the books, like, these weren't the things that came up for me. I think so much of the time when we are consuming content that is not on an individual level, that we aren't actually pushed to reflect specifically on our life and what has happened for us in our lifetime, we are quick to pick up the positive parts, all of the things that we know we do well, we know that are going well for us, and we kind of focus on those as opposed to allowing ourselves to kind of dig into the deeper media parts, the bits that are going to put us out of our comfort zone. Because this is the thing, right? The reason why this coaching work and self-development in general is a really interesting concept for lots of people, and why so many people sort of stay on the peripheral and aren't willing to dive in, is they know it's going to take them to places that aren't going to feel good. And this is why it is so important to, when you are leaning into this space, is to really ensure that you are in a safe and supportive environment, because you need to be held. And what I mean by that is not physically held, but you need to be in a space feeling supported, feeling like it's safe for you to share when you step out of your comfort zone and understand more about your true whole self, not just the shiny bright bits that are pleasant for people to see, but the harder things as well. So the concept of wanting to kind of up-level and, you know, show up as your most authentic self, that really, I suppose, if we break that whole concept down, it's around allowing yourself to accept the full entirety of you, not just the good bits, not just the parts you bring to the party, not just the bits that you show up to the, you know, I don't know, like, you know, the different social engagements or the things you take to parent interview day or the mask you put on at your workplace. This is really empowering for you as an individual because you are looking at all parts of yourself. You're saying, it's totally okay to be you. I accept you no matter how much you have judged yourself, limited yourself. Too often in life, we kind of put these sort of restrictions or like controls on ourselves where we're like, okay, well, yeah, well, I'll love you when you've lost all this weight, when you get this dream job, when you have like succeeded at all of these tick box approaches to your life, and only then will you actually allow yourself to be at peace with yourself. But I suppose what we're saying is that humans in their entirety aren't all sunshine and lollipops. There's so much depth there. There's so much trauma and hard things that I totally get it. We don't want to go there. I don't want to go there a lot of the time as well. And I mean, look, I've resisted so much of this inner work, but only now, what, 3 or 4 years into actually investing time and money, and I mean big time, and I mean big money, do I look forward to the next moments and opportunities for doing the hard stuff, for doing the really icky work, because I know that on the other side of that, there's going to be this freedom and this peace. And I talk to lots of my clients around this duality piece where we all were looking for this like enlightenment, peace, joy, presence in our lives. But if we look at it like a scale of like the hard, icky stuff down the kind of bottom and like the lighter, beautiful, peaceful, joyful life, all the love in the world up the top, like in order to kind of increase our scale for living, we need to go to the depths. And when we go and do the hard things on one end, it's almost like on the other side of that scale, we're rewarded. We get kind of more capacity for love, more capacity for peace. But we can't just increase the higher end of the scale without actually having a really good, deep, hard look at the harder stuff down the other end. Because the other end of the scale is really difficult to share because it's really hard stuff. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, all of those things to look at, like it is hard not to judge yourself about them. It's like this whole concept of being rewarded when you go outside your comfort zone. And we've all seen that beautiful image of, you know, like that's where the magic happens when you allow yourself to actually step out of your comfort zone. And that's it, right? And I suppose I just encourage you to find a space when you are leaning into this personal development world that does feel safe and supportive and loving, because we all deserve the opportunity to lean in and to look at our whole selves with, I suppose, present lens, because it's not always going to feel good, but it can always be loving, whether or not you're looking at the hard stuff, whether you are looking at the most beautiful parts of your life. You can come at it with a loving lens. And I suppose that is one of the key purposes behind my work around, you know, the self-love piece. I know that it's a word that gets thrown around willy-nilly. And I mean, I like that because the more we hear the concept self-love, the more we look to give ourselves that, right? It's like anything. It's that whole manifestation concept and that whole like presence of energy. If you're seeing it more often, if you're filling your content feed with it, if you're talking about it with your friends more, you embody more self-love. But the whole concept is to love and accept the harder, not so nice pieces about yourself, as well as the really epic parts of yourselves and your strengths. It's not to only love yourself when you show up, when you're, you know, looking great, you've got a killer outfit on and you know your hair's banging. It's about loving yourself when you are feeling like shit and you're tired and you're grumpy and you can't find matching socks. It's about allowing yourself space there. It's about giving yourself that compassion and loving yourself through that hard shit. And I mean, that's a really light example of hard shit. Like, I totally get that. But I suppose I'm just using it for context purposes here. So I encourage you to take some time to reflect on where you are judging yourself harshly, where you are not giving yourself the love and kindness and compassion you deserve. And we all have areas of this in our lives. I'm exactly the same. Like, there's definitely parts of myself that I judge more harshly than others. And that's okay, because I'm a work in progress. I'm leaning in, I'm looking at the hard things as well, just as I encourage you all to. So I really hope that this podcast has brought you a little bit of introspection, and that you are able to take something away, and that maybe you show yourself a little bit more love in the harder times, knowing that it's okay to love even the harder to look at parts of yourself. If you are feeling like you are ready to dive into some of this individual and specific work with regards to giving yourself more love, more connection, more kindness, if you are ready to create some depth in your relationship with yourself, I have a new round of Rise kicking off on the 12th of April, and I am absolutely, I'm so excited for it. I honestly, this program for me has been just so beautiful to create, to put out into the world. And that is solely because the women that it is able to touch and reach and transform is so empowering for me as a coach. And I just love seeing women coming together in a space where they can support each other and love each other, where they can give themselves kindness, compassion, space, and time. 8 weeks of prioritizing you, of really reflecting on your life and how you show up in the world, of coming together and celebrating you in all of your glory, from, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? So we kick off on April 12th. I have a beautiful early bird price happening at the moment for the week, and I would love, love, love to have a conversation about it with you, to see if it's the right space, to see if you are ready, because it is a good time. I know this round is going to be really magical. So if this feels like something that you're ready for, if you want to prioritize you and you're ready to invest some time and resource into really ensuring that you are living as your most authentic self, then come on over to Instagram, send me a DM, send me an email. I would love that. These conversations are really relaxed. It's a catch up, right? There's never any pressure. This is an invitation for you to step into the space if it feels like it's a bit of you. There's no pressure here. I'm not about that life. But as always, it's a pleasure chatting to myself. But I really look forward to connecting with so many of you soon. I hope you have the most gorgeous day, and I hope that you are able to give yourself a little bit of extra love and kindness along the way. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Summer of Self-Love today. I hope you're feeling inspired and ready to love yourself like crazy. We have so many more exciting guests to share with you, so much more inspiration, guidance, and support to living your most loved up life. Feel free to jump on over and follow me on Instagram at Beck Connington. As per every other podcast, it would be so amazing if you chose to jump on and give us a 5-star review. I am really hoping to make this podcast as magical as possible and to be able to impact as many women that need to give themselves that extra love and kindness. I can't wait to catch you next time on the Summer of Self-Love.